ahead and call the Wilmer Municipal Utility Commission meeting to order. Today is Monday, March 22nd at 11:45 a.m. If we could have everybody rise for the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, any changes to the agenda? If not, we're moving to the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes from March 8th and bill payments in the amount of $7.2 million.
So moved.
We have a resolution for the consent. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Mr. Herron, do you have some items in the bill payments to point out?
Thank you, Commissioner Manner. Yes, I do. I'd like to point out in the bills at this meeting here on page 2, RBC, $1 million, that's an investment moving basically from money market to more long-term for better interest rates. Then on the very last page, we also have two more institutions where we sent money to, or we'll be sending money to, is Bremer for $3 million and Heritage Bank for another $2 million. So a total of $6 million are pulling out of our money market and moving into longer term rates. Andrea reached out to the different agencies that we do business with to solicit RFPs for rates, and those institutions indicated the best rates for our investment. So
that's a reallocation of investment funds there.
Be correct.
All right, any further discussion on the resolution?
Is that something that we often do, the money reallocation, or
no,
yearly?
It's been a year or two, but our reserves are accumulating to the point to where we have more in our checking and money market of funds fund than what we need to take care of our monthly bill payments. Yes. So therefore, it's time to put some of that money to better work.
We work with that. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner DeBleek, do you have a question?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll.
Commissioner Matter?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you. All right, next on the agenda, we have our 2020 audit report and financial statements presented today by Mr. Justin McGraw with CDS. Mr. McGraw, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. It's good to be here. Like you said, I am Justin McGraw with CDS, the Commission's auditors. I'm here today to present the financial audit report for the fiscal year ending 12/31/2020. Here's the layout of the agenda for what we're going to cover today. I'll go into greater detail on all these sections. Starting with the auditor's report. So the auditor's report, it's a summation of the standards we follow, responsibilities of both parties, you as the commission, us as auditors, and it describes the intent of our audit, which is to determine if your financial statements are free from material misstatement and can be relied upon for gauging performance of the commission, as well as decision-making purposes. The big item to take away is on the second slide, the first slide here, that the bottom line there, that the commission financial statements are fairly stated, in our opinion. They can be relied upon, and you can use those numbers as you move forward into 2021 and beyond. A few other items that we talk about in our auditor's report is the management discussion and analysis. This is a more of a narrative format of some of the items that happened within the commission during the year. It gives your administration a chance to discuss the reason behind why you're seeing some of the changes you're seeing and why you're seeing some of the balances you're seeing throughout the year. And there's also a portion there that includes benchmark standards for the region. You can see how you compare with other utility commissions that have electric and water and formerly heat across the region. Now moving into the numbers here. A few items starting at the top, current assets. These would be items like cash, accounts receivable, prepaid expenses, inventory. You can see there's an increase in 2020 compared to 2019. That increase is primarily driven by your cash balances, like you had kind of just discussed. Your cash balances increase largely through operations. You're seeing that flow through in your current assets. Some of your non-current assets, these would be items like restricted cash, but property and equipment, infrastructure, those types of things. You saw a decrease in 2020 compared to 2019. A good chunk of that decrease is due to the abandonment or the disposal of a lot of the district heating assets. We took them off your books. They're not serving any useful purpose for the commission anymore. So you're seeing that balance go down. Your accounts payable on the bottom there, or non-current liabilities, those would be accounts payable, salaries, wages, those types of items. You can see here, there was a slight decrease in 2020 compared to 2019. A good chunk of that is related to contracts payable for various projects that were occurring within the commission in 2019 were paid. In 2020, you didn't have that level of unpaid project expenses in 2020. Looking at your long-term liabilities, you have your net pension liability, your other post-employment benefit liability, and then you had your compensated absences, vacation, sick, those types of items. You see across the board, all of them decreased in 2020 compared to 2019. Your other post-employment benefits and your net pension liability, those rely very heavily on actuarial valuations. There were some assumption changes on what they think is going to happen in the future, and that's the big driver behind your pension and OPEB liability decreases. And then the net position at the bottom, if you were to sell all the assets of the commission and pay off all your debts, this is kind of what's left over. You can see here you had an increase overall in 2020, but your net investment in capital assets, that's all your capital assets, what their value is, less any debt. Obviously, you don't have any, but that's what that term stands for. You can see there was a decrease. Again, that's going to largely follow your capital assets on the previous slide. So as you get rid of those commission heating or district heating assets, it comes out of that balance as well. So you look at your net position on this page, kind of gives you a visual of what that breakdown is. You can see the big changes between unrestricted and net investment in capital assets in the current year, largely due to the disposition of assets, in addition to the depreciation of current assets that you still own. Now looking at the revenue and expenses of the commission. Utility revenues experienced a decrease in 2020, with the exception of water. So you can see the electric revenues went down. Obviously, the district heating went down as it was decommissioned and people were migrating away from the district heat into other forms of heating. But that increase in water, that's pretty reflective of the increase in water rates that we saw for 2020. I think your rates went up 20%, your revenues went up approximately 18%. So it didn't seem that the increase in rates affected usage all that much. Maybe if more people stayed home due to the pandemic, there was largely unavoidable some of that usage, but that's what we're seeing with the correlation between your increase in rates and your increase in revenues. And with your electric fund, or electric division, it was about $13 million less kilowatt hours sold in 2020 compared to 2019. When you're seeing some of that less power sold, but your revenue per kilowatt hour did increase slightly. So the kilowatt hours you did sell, you were selling at a better rate. Looking at the operating expenses in 2020 compared to 2019, there was a slight decrease in those operating expenses as well. Some of your expenses are largely fixed. But as usage goes up and down, some of your expenses follow suit. So while the composition of those expenses may experience mixed results, some went up, some went down, overall for 2020 there was a decrease.
Quick question. Yeah. I see the decrease on 2020 in terms of operating, but when we look at the other statement in 2020, it seems to me that there's no decrease. It's like 29,000, and comparing here is 27 on 2019.
Yeah, so like on the far last column you're talking?
Yeah.
That was your budget for 2020. Okay. Is that what you're referring to?
The operating,
Yeah.
So yeah, where do we figure it out, because my assumption was 2019, 2020 we lost revenue. in regards of the COVID and, you know, that at least like $3 million or close to.
Yep.
Where will that reflect?
So you're on your revenue side, it's going to be on the top half of that slide, in the second column from the right, or from the left, excuse me, that's your actual revenues for the year. So you can see, you know, like the electric energy went down a little over $1 million. You know, water went up approximately $600,000. Your heating obviously went down.
Okay.
Yep. That. So the column on the far left is your budget, actual, and the difference between your budget and actual, and the difference between the prior year and current year.
I see the budget and actual, yeah, okay. Go ahead, sorry.
Okay. So on this next slide, this is some of those non-operating items that the commission experienced during the year. There's a few new ones on here that you probably haven't seen in the past, or maybe you haven't seen in a while. You have a miscellaneous revenue item. You got a refund from Missouri River for transmission costs. So that's not really part of your operations as far as getting those revenues year after year after year. It's not a consistent item. It's going to be more of a one-time thing, according to Missouri River. So you'll see that there. And then at the bottom, you have a special item, which is the gain loss on disposal of operations. So this is essentially the sum or the net of what you got when you disposed of all the obsolete inventory of the district heating, disposed of your capital assets. The district heating was relieved of its pension and OPEB liabilities as part of that disposal. So this is kind of that, essentially that full accrual number of what it cost you to get rid of the district heating. Now we'll look at each division individually and see how their performance was for 2020. The electric division, here we have the kilowatt hours purchased and generated versus what was sold. You can see here there was a slight increase in the kilowatt hours sold during the year, but a slight decrease in the kilowatt hours sold, and a slight increase in purchased and generated. Line loss did increase in 2020 compared to 2019. We saw a decrease from 19 to 18, and then an increase in 2020. I think it was around, I want to say 7% was your line loss. The Energy Information Administration says that should be around, well, not necessarily should be around, but its average is 5%. So you're a little bit above that in 2020 after a few years of being pretty well below that average. Sorry, Webb?
Question on that. The difference between purchased and sold, is that, are we accounting for street lighting, or is that logged as a sold?
Yeah, no, street lighting's in that kilowatt hour figure as well.
As far as sold, or?
And then the purchased and generated.
But you got kilowatt hours sold.
Yep.
So we don't sell the power that goes to the street lighting. Is that logged as a sold item, or how is that accounted for?
That actually has its own, I guess, a line item in the financial statements. You'll see street lighting. It's separate from purchased power. So it's an expense, an operating expense, but we don't include it with purchase or power generation. Does that answer your question?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So now we look at your utility revenue versus the cost of power. That's both generation and purchase power. You can see here that the margin has been relatively maintained over the 2020 and even the last 4 years prior. So, you know, that margin is what you're using to pay all your other operating costs besides power, so salaries, supplies, those types of things. So if you can set that margin to the point where you can cover your other operating costs, you're going to see that electric division, that net position of that division grow, which you are seeing. And I understand you're moving towards divisional accounting for each division, the electric and the water. And I think when you get to that point of seeing those numbers, you'll see the effect that this has maintaining that margin on that electric's net position. Look at the net income of the electric fund. You can see here, it has a trend of increasing, and it's maintained that trend of increasing consistently from year to year. And it's a very, very healthy net income amount. That's the electric division. Moving on to the water division. Here, again, you have cubic feet pumped and cubic feet sold. You know, over the last 5 years, the water system has been in that 13 to 20% range for system loss. I think the average is about 16 per the EPA, and says that's probably what you can expect to lose for operating the water system. So you're kind of right in that range. But you can see here, again, the cubic feet pumped and what you sold. I think you were, I think you were around 16, 17% for 2020. I didn't write it down, but it's in our financial statements. So if you're curious about what that was, feel free to take a look. And again, you look at the revenue from the water fund and the cost of producing that water, that margin has increased in 2020 compared to 2020 or 2019. And again, that's what pays all the other operating costs of the water division. So salaries, wages, supplies, materials, those types of items. And then the net income amounts. You can see an increase in the amount of net income that the water fund had in 2020 compared to 2019. Again, some of that is the rate increase that you had put in place for 2020. So it's really, you can see the effect that that has on your financial statements. When you monitor those rates and make sure that they're set at a level where they're going to cover, you know, future capital needs and just the current operating costs.
So that contributes because of the rate increase. That's otherwise, if that rate increase did not get affected, that would have been a loss. Is that correct?
No, I don't think you would have a loss. You wouldn't have as much of a net income amount. Mm-hmm. Because you can see that fund's been able to cover its operations for quite a few years. You just might not have seen it at this level if you hadn't increased rates.
Yes, I'm kind of a little bit confused because I'm trying to compare 2020 and 2019. You know, 2019, we have a lot of restaurants closed, a lot of facilities, especially utilizing water and things in that nature. And I know homes are using more because people stay home. So yep. I just want to see where, you know, thinking 2019 is always higher comparing to 2020, and I'm seeing that now. Actually, 2020 looks like healthy, so I don't understand.
Yeah, so you're
a little bit confused in that trend.
Absolutely.
You know?
Maybe Andrew can chime in here too. Commissioner Mabou, no, those are good questions that you have there. If you recall, throughout the years, we were giving updates on our tracking of COVID and the impact that COVID had on us.
Yeah.
We started out more in the midsummer that after you factored in the 20% rate increase on the water side, we were lagging, you know, 4, 6, 8% from where we want it to be. And as we went through the year, we made a lot of that up. And I think the last update that we provided to the commission, that update consisted of, after you factor in that 20% increase in our rates, we were short about 2%.
Does that sound about right, Andrew?
50-some thousand, yeah. We almost, by the end of the year, met our targets. So when you look at that rate increase, as Justin is talking about in there, even though we might have been slightly short of our projections, but our projections included a 20% increase in rates.
So that increase helped. Otherwise, if we didn't have that increase, we would have been bad position, right?
What we got going on in the last rate study that we completed, in 2018, I believe it was, we were looking at our water treatment plant and how are we going to fund that. That is $16 million. Mm-hmm. In addition to the water treatment plant at $15, $16 million, we also were taking over the water main replacement from the city. So we needed a 21% rate increase to cover the water main replacement that we were taking over from the city. And then for a water treatment plant, we needed another 20% there. So we did a 20% rate increase in 2019 and a 20% rate increase in a 20% rate increase in 2020 and a 20% rate increase in 2021, followed by a 5 and a 5.
Yeah.
So in the next 2 years, a 5 and 5 to try and increase our revenue in the water fund so that we can cover our water main expenses that we need to cover as we go forward here, as well as bond payments on our water treatment plant. So would we have been in a deficit without it? No, but we would not have any dollars to pay our water main replacement costs or our water treatment plant. So we still would have finished the year in the black, but we're trying to raise our rates to cover our expenses for the upcoming water main replacement, and that starts next year. We get an assessment from the city at the beginning of the year based on the engineer's estimate for those costs. So we asked the city to give us 2 years there, the first year, to get funds in place so we can cover our share of the water main costs, and then we need to start focusing on our wastewater, our water treatment plant.
Yeah. No, thanks for explaining. Now, the thing is, like, as I was looking through the, I'm not a good actually with a financial guy, but looking at it, I was just, my assumption was comparing 2020 and 2019, thinking because of COVID, because of a lot of closure, because of less usage, you know, that we will see some sort of decline.
Yeah.
My assumption. But I don't see anything looking all over these documents.
Yeah.
It seems to me everything is just projected going up, and I'm kind of a little bit surprised on that. You know?
Commissioner Bubu, that's correct on the water side. We finished out the year with our commodity sales almost flat from 2019. Electric side, we're down, but the water, we finished the year out relatively flat.
Okay, thank you.
And that's something, we do quite a bit of audits for utilities, and that was kind of our expectation, is a lot of numbers would be down going into 2020, or finishing 2020 with the pandemic, and what we kind of saw is really just the composition of what those numbers are, you know, whether it be, you know, like large industrial electricity was down, but residential electricity was up, so there's, it seems like the breakdown of it is what really was impacted by COVID, not necessarily overall usage, which is, I guess the COVID's not done yet, so let's see how 2021 goes. Then district heating division. So this division, you know, 2020 was last year. It was in operation. So we've been seeing a decline in the usage of the district heating, and 2020 was no different. People had, our customers had largely migrated to other forms of heat by the time the commission or the district had been decommissioned. We still had some sales in early 2020 for that. You can see the pounds of steam sold, the kilowatt hours sold. 2021 would be obviously zero. Your revenue follows that decline in usage, as well as the total cost of operating that fund, because there wasn't a whole lot of activity in that district. And then your net income loss. So you had the heating district had, you know, had been able to cover its costs when it was still operational. The reason 2020 you're seeing a net loss is just the disposal of the assets, the write-off of the obsolete inventory, the abandonment or disposal of the heating district infrastructure, as those things still had value when you were using them. Once they became not useful, they were written off at their carrying value. So that's what's driving that net loss amount in 2020. So that's the numbers. In addition to looking at the balances of the commission, you also look at the commission's compliance with legal standards, statutes, state statutes. We're happy to report for all the items we tested, we came across no issues of non-compliance, no material non-compliance. So these would be items like conflicts of interest, contracts embedding, public indebtedness, those types of things. So that usually tells us a couple things as auditors. One, that your team here knows what the laws are and they're making sure they're being followed. So our hats off to them. Then we look at, government auditing standards. We look at the internal control of the commission, how financial information flows through the commission, and we have a few material weaknesses that we noted. If you've sat through my presentation last year, you probably remember me talking about these. One is the auditor prepared financial statements. So in the documents you have in front of you, you know, those are, well, they're all derived from your records. We put them in that format that you're seeing in front of you. So you have to disclose that to you. And then limited segregation of duties. With limited office staff, it can frequently fall on one or a few people to wear several different hats in that financial accounting process. And that's not uncommon for an organization of your size. Really, as auditors, what we are trying to relay to you at the commission level with this statement is that you're another set of eyes in that process. You need that claims listing, or if you're looking at your monthly, quarterly financials, whatever it may be, the practice is to ask those questions on, if you see an unusual vendor in there, or you see an amount that doesn't make sense or flow with what you're hearing from the rest of the activity, you get that check and that balance in that process. And then, in addition to the audit, we give you what's called a management letter. It's a letter from us as auditors to you at the commission level, let you know how the audit went, any issues we had, either with your material, your balances, or your team. We're happy to report none. I know we come in and we sit in the room next door and we ask a lot of questions and we ask for a lot of information. All the while, your team has to keep current with the ongoing operations. So, we're not always the easiest to have out, but we do appreciate the help that we got from John and Andrea this year. And then we have a few recommendations, maybe not new recommendations, but a heads up for you at the commission level. You know, last year I was here, if you remember, I talked about a new accounting standard coming out, GASB 87, had to do with leases and how that may impact the commission if you decide to use that as a financing option. So I bet you it wasn't more than 2 weeks after I left here, the Government Accounting Standards Board issued a new statement that postponed the implementation of that lease standard. So when we were here last year, I gave the description of the standard. That standard was due to be implemented in 2020. Now you got till 2022 to implement that standard. So it's more of a correction of what I told you last year. There's been some changes. Due to the COVID, they've postponed a lot of implementation standards. So I just want to make sure that if you're still counting on that in 2020, that's actually now a 2022 item. So with that is my presentation. If anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns, I can take them right now. And I think I got my contact information right there. So if you're thinking about anything that I talked about today, you're reading more into the reports and a question does come up, feel free to reach out, call, email, or if you're in the Litchfield area, stop by the Litchfield office.
Thank you, Mr. McGraw. We appreciate your presentation and the questions that you have answered. Commissioners, any other questions? Doesn't look like it. I think we covered everything. So
all right.
Again, we appreciate the information.
Thank you very much. You guys enjoy the rest of your meeting.
Thank you. All right, with that, we'd be looking for a motion to accept the presentation, or the audit that's presented.
So moved.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. Thank you. All right. We'll move on to the next agenda item then. Number five, Labor Committee meeting minutes. Commissioner Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We actually met twice, so I have two sets of meeting minutes to present and to have submittal for approval. The first meeting was on Wednesday, March 10th at 12 p.m. On the agenda were several items. We did not get them all, and we still have some items at our table, but we did cover strategic planning, the clothing policy, and pay equity and wage scale discussion, and the general manager goals. For strategic planning, it was noted that MRES provides facilitation for us, and we are going to take advantage of that. We last had an update on our plan in 2019, and we're going to do an update for 2021. So we approved the facilitation process from a representative from Missouri River coming out, and that will be held this Thursday. There will be a draft strategic plan presented to first the Labor Committee and then to the full commission for approval. So further action to come on that in the future. We discussed the clothing policy in length. We went through that, as you know, as part of the negotiations of the labor contract earlier in the year that was left out of the labor contract and put into policy. So what we decided to do was to bring in the representatives from the union to get their input on how they'd like to see the clothing policy crafted, and so we decided to do that and set another meeting. And that will be the second set of meeting minutes that I discuss shortly. We talked about the pay equity and wage scale discussion. This is a requirement by the state of Minnesota for us to review. We were in compliance in 2019. There were two positions that needed to be adjusted, so we continue to be in compliance. There's a lot of discussion on pretty much education with to the Labor Committee on how this all worked. We did approve the two positions that needed to be adjusted on the scale to be in compliance for 2021. Then the general manager updated his goals for 2021, went through those, and that will be an ongoing discussion item for the Labor Committee as we come to year end for general manager's goals as it relates to 2021. So we adjourned after about a two-hour meeting at 1:52 p.m. So I will submit those as a motion for approval.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. Any discussion? All right, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. Let you continue into the next set of minutes.
So the next set of minutes, as I had shared, was a meeting devoted to the clothing policy, where we did have three representatives from the union attend. There were representatives from the electrical, the facilities and maintenance, and the water department. And we went through and asked for input, what they would like to see. We've talked about going to an outside supplier taking care of purchasing our clothing requirements and then laundering them as well. So there was some talk about that. Concern about the how they fit and how they feel as the guys are working outside. So those all were taken into consideration. I thought we had a really good meeting, but nothing was decided, other than the fact that we will continue 2021 as our current policy, with the intent to restructure the policy as we move into 2022. So between now and the end of the year, staff and the Labor Committee will continue to work on a labor policy that makes sense for us as well as the union to supply them safe and cleanly clothing. So the decision was, as I said, to the recommendation, I guess, was to no change in policy for 2021, with the intent to come up with a plan and policy for 2022. So I submit those minutes for approval as well.
So moved.
A motion from Commissioner Weber, second from Commissioner Mabub. Any discussion in the minutes? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. Thank you. All right, next we'll move into the general manager's report.
Thank you, Commissioner Banner. Commissioner Weber pointed out to see the strategic planning session coming up this week, Thursday. Labor Committee has taken that on. They will be part of it for the first hour or thereabouts to provide input to it. The conclusion of that meeting, there will be a draft plan. At least that's our vision, to put a draft plan together roughly that will be further vetted out by the Labor Committee. I would envision that to come before the Commission as well for additional input as we go through the process. And then there will be a second meeting to wrap up loose ends upon our updated strategic plan, with the final plan coming forward in front of the Commission for approval at the end. So, other than that, I would conclude my updates unless there's questions.
No questions. All right. Anything else to come before the Commission today? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.